Hi and welcome to Step In Mom Podcast. My name is Veronica Darim. I'm a relationship coach and I mainly work with co-parents and step-parents. So this episode is about mom rage, and I've done this episode before, but because of my IT stupidity, I lost it. But it's kind of good because now I have a better knowledge or more experience about mom rage, and before it was really just like quite fresh for me. And now I have a nearly 2 years experience is of mom rage. So, yep, it doesn't go anywhere, unfortunately. But what is actually mom rage? Mom rage, I first of all didn't know about mom rage. When I was pregnant, everyone was talking about, postnatal depression, anxiety, all the baby blues, the manic depressions or manic episodes. So everyone was talking about that, but I feel like, oh, why nobody told me about this? But maybe it was out there, I just didn't see it. I have no idea, but to be honest, I can see in the last 2 years, I can see massive shift that people start talking about mom rage way more than before. So what mom rage is for me? For me, mom rage is when I get angry, but the way that I don't know what to do with the negative energy. I mean, negative energy, it's so strong and so bad that I don't know what to do. And I feel like the cartoon character when it gets the pressure, the steam out of the nose or ears. But I feel like I stuck in the point just before the steam goes out and I don't know what to do. And it's just like keep like boiling and the pressure is on and I just don't know what to do with that. So that's for me, mom rage. And then obviously the pressure goes on and things are happening, which I will talk about in a second. So that's for me, the mom rage. Everyone experiencing mom rage differently. For me is getting angry really quickly. When I was cluster feeding, I could set my time on it. Every day, 7 p.m., whoop, mom rage. It was just spot on, Now it is different. Now I can have it like any time of the day. And sometimes I can see now that there are some sort of pattern going on. So again, when I see it, as like, oh, it's usually happening around the bath time, then I know I need to prep myself before, but I will come back to that. So another thing that really helped me to understanding mom rage was what is anger. Because for me personally, anger is like secondary emotion. And it's like, if you imagine iceberg, there's bigger part of the iceberg is underneath the water, and just the tip of the iceberg is, for me, is the anger. But what is underneath, there are so many things, and I will talk about it, what it is for me, the anger. And again, everyone has a different triggers or different reasons to feel angry. But for me, anger is a secondary. It's like nearly an action. So you feel all the emotions, all the feelings, and then you get angry. So the anger doesn't come first. All the other things come first. So for me, where the triggers for mom rage, the anger, was I was feeling extremely lonely because of all the madness that happened, and I got pregnant right at the beginning of it. So you can imagine all the restrictions, all the stuff, all the things impact all my pregnancy, my birth, everything. So I felt extremely lonely. I couldn't have my mom here to support me and to help me for the first few months or weeks. I couldn't have it. Another thing was, especially at the beginning, I felt so envious of my husband's freedom that he could just go to his office, which is outside of the house. So he could just like leave and not hearing the crying, not hearing a thing. And he could, work on his projects. He could, but at the same time, he was stressed as well. But anyway, I envy him the freedom. I envy him that he could work on his work and projects, and I kind of had to step back, which was like, in a way, that was the deal, that I will look after the baby. But there is certain sense of resentment because of losing the freedom I used to have. And I think that takes some time to process and you know, accept it or work on that, that it definitely takes time. So another thing that really triggered me, so I'm just looking at my notes. There was definitely unprocessed emotions and trauma about my birth or me giving birth, about having emergency C-section. That definitely was something unprocessed, and I just shut it down because of focusing on the baby instead of focusing on kind of healing myself or healing the process. So that was definitely underneath all of that. Another things that I found really hard was obviously, you know, the hormones. The hormones after birth are nothing compared to the pregnancy hormones, because I was mess. It was just so hard to kind of adjust or find understanding that this is common, and this is, I need to just go through it and be okay with it and just wait until the hormones will do their thing. So that was another thing that was underneath the anger, you know. So all the mess around, all the resentment, all the regrets, if I had some, you know. Another thing, they were really, I would call them like little triggers or even big triggers. And things like being out touched. So I was breastfeeding. We didn't manage to get him on the bottle. So yeah, I stuck with breastfeeding exclusively for some time. So being out touched because of breastfeeding, later on the accidental pinching, grabbing her, scratching, you know, all the things babies do unintentionally, but they are so horrible, you know, the pinching and pulling her, it was driving me absolutely mad, you know. Pulling, like when they start standing or try to stand and they're just pulling your pants down and, you know, again, they don't mean it, they do their milestones, but I'm not saying it was all good with me. It really, really triggered me. Another things, noise. He can't have any crazy music or toys because I just get really overstimulated and really angry really quickly with these toys. So normal music instruments, absolutely fine, but then really annoying loud toys, I can't stand them, I can't do it. Things like crying, tantrums, hearing or watching someone doing better, so comparing to other stepmoms, that definitely has a part of the, you know, mom rage as well. And not being able to do something. So you start doing something and then like you are interrupted 100 times because, I don't know, because the little one is too little, or then you have a toddler who is just keep, you know, what's this and what's that and this, and then he wants to help, but they're just like, nah. So not being able to finish my things, or him fussing with food. Oh my God, this is just one other a trigger. And but again, for me, sometimes the triggers are not the reasons, you know. So when I was looking for them, like pinching and pulling and, you know, mama, 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 mama all the time, the main reason as well, as long as being overstimulated, was feeling alone, envious of my husband. So it's just really a mix of a lot of things. And now I would like to share with you, how do I process mom rage and how do I deal with it? So at the beginning, I did a bit of digging, and a lot of people said, just write down how you feel, what you're processing. And sometimes you are not able to write things down because you have the baby in your arms, or so it's not helpful, you know, or you can't write down at that moment. So I was just breaking it down in my head. I was acknowledging that this isn't mom rage. This is what is right now. It's mom rage. I'm getting angry and angry, and I need to stop this. So how do I stop this? What do I feel? What I am feeling right now? I am feeling extremely lonely. Okay, what would help me? What would help me to have my husband next to me, or coming just in the room? Maybe he like, okay, I have to breastfeed, but just having him in the room and talking to me about something else than breastfeeding and baby stuff will help me. Okay, call my husband. tell him to come over right now, you know. He came to the room, distracted me. Fine. If you can't get someone else, or if I knew that he's just at the meeting and I can't get him, I called my mom, I called someone, I put a TV on. You just need to create a plan, you know, and not when it's happening, but before. So for example, with the cluster feeding, I knew this is going to be like a few hours of madness. So I knew, okay, I need to have a shower before it starts. I need to put my pajamas on, my really comfortable breastfeeding bra. I need to cook dinner before, or have a food ready, and then find a Netflix, you know, or do something like that. So I just said the whole thing before the cluster feeding started, and it helped me to prevent mom rage. I'm not saying it never happened again. Of course it had, but I knew how to kind of like, okay, it's happening. Okay, call the husband, do something, distract yourself. Okay, put the baby down. He can cry for a little bit. Just put him in a cot where he is safe. He is a dummy, he is burp, he's everything he needs. I just need to walk away from the room for just a minute and have a deep breath. You know, always keep the baby safe, obviously, and then you remove yourself from the situation, or I remove myself from the situation. So always, always have a plan what to do, you know, how, what is helping. The same with when he's fussing with the food, you know, okay, well, okay, again, have a plan. Okay, I'm walking away, husband is with him. If your partner can't be with you at the time of, you know, dinner, then okay, well, now just let's put a music on, and let's put, you know, give him a little toy so he can play while he's eating. Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's better than me getting really angry. You know, I know that I have to switch off the radio. I need to, you know, limit the noises. If I have to shut down, you know, shut the windows to prevent the noise coming in, I do that. So really just limiting the other triggers or overstimulating for me really helps. So yeah, writing now or breaking in your head, the steps, always have a plan. Another thing, which is I think the most important thing about mom rage and experiencing a mom rage, is talking about it. It's talking about it with your partner, or it's friends, family, you know, acknowledge it is happening. And when I shared the first time that with my husband, because I felt like there was at some point of the mom rage, I felt like I can't trust myself anymore, or I know I wouldn't hurt myself or Thea, but it was the point when I was like, I start questioning myself, and that's definitely the, you know, the toughest part. And when I shared this with my husband, I could see his eyes and look like he looked worried. And I said, I'm not thinking about hurting myself. I'm not thinking about hurting Theo. But there comes the time when I hold him and I feel this anger and I don't know what to do. And sometimes, yeah, I hold him a bit too tight, or I just had to put him down and I did it a little bit too harsh. And again, it's not hurting, but it's that energy that is coming out of you and you don't know what to do with it. So I had to learn, okay, I need to do it earlier. I need to put him down as soon as I know it's coming, or I see it's, you know, it's creeping in. So having the conversation and being really honest, just like with yourself, that with the person, and not holding back, you know, because they need to get you, they need to understand that this is a real thing. This is nothing that goes away very quickly. I know, 2 years in, still having mom rage, 100%, you know, but it is about managing it. And another thing which I find extremely, extremely upsetting and heartbreaking is now Theo knows what's going on. So when I got angry, he didn't, you know, have the level of understanding that, oh, mommy is angry. He just, you know, he picked up on my energy, absolutely. But he didn't know what was going on. Now I know that when I get angry, obviously my face, it's, you know, it changes. I can't hide it. And he looks at me and just breaking my heart just to say it, because I just see his little face now, and it's just like, in my brain now, that little face. that is scared of me. And I don't know if it's being scared or confused or worried, but it looks like he's scared of me. And this is something that I'm getting emotional here. I find it the toughest that the little thing that I love the most, there are points that he's scared, and it is breaking my heart. And and especially when he can't ask me, or he doesn't like, are you okay? He can't ask me this. So what I have learned, when I got to the point, or even before I got to the point, I rather cry. I let it out and I cry, because if I cry, he knows what's going on. He knows that I'm upset or I'm sad, and he comes and he gives me a cuddle, and you know, and just him coming over me and over to me and giving me the cuddle, it just helps me so much to calm down, to just breathe and, you know, go back to reality. So yeah, I would rather cry. I sit on the floor. It was many times I sat on the floor, you know, my back, the kitchen cabinets, and just sitting and crying. And you know, my husband saw me once, and I just sat down on the floor, and in the kitchen and crying. And he was like, "You don't want to, you know, come on the sofa or something." I was like, "No, I find this place so comforting. I would rather cry here on the floor in the kitchen by the kitchen sink than going on the sofa, because somehow, I don't know if the ground is helping, like feeling the ground is helping, I don't know." But there you go. That's another thing. Like, find a good crying spot, I think. that could help. So yeah, that's really finding the way you cope and you remove your from that situation. I talked to the John. We did an interview last week, and it's on the podcast and the YouTube. And yeah, she was saying she get a mom rage or really upset when the little one didn't want to bath. So you know, she started feeling that, and she had to call her partner. She's like, "Okay, you are taking over. I have to go away for a second." And it is about removing yourself from the situation if you can, or just find a way to cope. Everyone is unique. Everyone has a different, you know, different tools that prevents the, you know, anxiety, or it helping. Someone is doing the tapping therapy. Someone's, you know, so many times I just cover my ears and just like really just press hard so I can't hear anything. And that helps as well. And then just slowly breathing. I don't do necessarily like deep breaths and in and out and deep ones, because sometimes I feel like it's feeding the panic attack or the anger. So I just I breathe the way I feel it's all right with me, and it feels good and it's not stressing me, if that makes sense. Okay, so I think that's it from me about the mom rage, and please do find any support you can. I'm here for you if you need to, you know, talk to your friends about it. If you feel like it is more than mom rage, please talk to your doctor or your GP or someone. Find a help and support that you need and you deserve, because as much as mom rage is common, I don't want to make it normal. I don't want to normalize it. I really struggle when someone's like, "Oh, it's normal." I was like, "This is not normal. This is not how the way I feel when I have a mom rage is not normal, and it's common, but it's not normal." I refuse to feel it or say it as it's normal. It's common. So just find a way, find something you know it's working for you, because everyone is different, as I said, and you need to find the best way for yourself. For me, the best tip I can give you, talk to someone. talk to someone about how you feel, what do you need, I know, what do you need from them, what do you need for yourself, and don't put it the way that like, oh, I want this, I want that. No, you need it. When you're experiencing mom rage, you need whatever you need. So I hope this episode helped someone, and please do let me know what you think. Please subscribe, like, comment, whatever you can do, and thank you very much for listening. Lots of love.